Okay. We're going to pick up with the last part of that verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what a pleasing thing that would be, wouldn't it? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In section 28, 2G, for I will reveal myself from heaven with power and great glory, and all the hosts thereof, and dwell in righteousness with men on earth. Let me start over with that. For I will reveal myself from heaven with power and great glory, with all the hosts thereof, and dwell in righteousness with men on earth 1,000 years, and the wicked shall not stand. Can you imagine what that would be like? To dwell upon the earth with the Master, and no wickedness around, no temptations. What a glorious thing that is going to be. And what do we have to look to work forward to be a part of that? And so, you know, if we accomplish anything in this life, it takes a little bit of effort. Takes a little bit of effort on our part. Things just don't happen. But it takes some effort. And the Lord in His Scriptures has given us direction how to accomplish that. The Holy Ghost is there to give us direction from time to time as we need it. As we ask for it, for those things that are expedient for us to do the things He wants us to do. And so what a glorious thing it's going to be. Lynn.
Maybe the early saints had it actually better than we do, as far as they didn't have material things today. They didn't have the way of the world like our young people and we have today. So I don't think the devil could tempt them the way he's tempting the people today. We have so much material. We have so much entertainment out there. We have sports. We have, you name it. Satan is everywhere today, tempting all ages, not just the youth, but all ages. And so, in a way, it's harder because it's more enticing. Where back then, they didn't have the same things to tempt them. They had temptation, don't get me wrong, but Satan knows he doesn't have much time, and so he's at full force today.
He's maybe got some more avenues, but we know he was still at full force, because we look at Sodom and Gomorrah and can you find 10 righteous people, 5 righteous people? But the thing was, there was a revival going on at that time, and Joseph went into the woods and got direction of the Lord, and the Lord restored His church, that truth might be brought forth again upon the earth. And as those people, probably across the board, had a better relationship with the Lord, recognized the Lord, because they lived amongst nature, because of the situation of their days and that. And so they probably walked a little closer to the Lord and because of disasters and stuff that would happen, see his power. And yet we can look at 9/11 and when it happened. We can look at Katrina and some of the disasters that are coming upon this land. And yet for a little while people kind of turn to the Lord, but it doesn't last because they can't get the Lord in their heart. They look for him for protection, but they don't want to dwell in his house and let him dwell in them like he wants to. Section 76, when it talks about celestial glory, and I'll begin at 5a. And again, we bear record, for we saw and heard this is the testimony of the gospel of Christ concerning them who come forth in the resurrection of the just. They are they who received the testimony of Jesus, not only received, and believed on his name, and were baptized after the manner of his burial, and were buried in the water in his name, and this according to the commandments which he has given, that by keeping the commandments, that they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins, and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto this power, and who overcometh by faith and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true. They are they who are the church of the firstborn. They are they in whose hands the Father has given all things. They are they who are priests and kings, who have received of his fullness and of his glory, and are priests of the Most High after the order of Melchizedek, which was after the order of Enoch, which was after the order of the only begotten Son. Therefore, as it is written, they are gods, even sons of God. Wherefore, all things are theirs, whether life or death, or things present, or things to come, all are theirs, and they are Christ's, and Christ is God's, and they shall overcome all things. Therefore, let no man glory, but rather let him glory in God, who shall subdue all enemies under his feet. These shall dwell in the presence of God and his Christ forever and ever. These are they whom he shall bring with him when he shall come in clouds of heaven to reign on the earth over his people. These are they who shall have part of the first resurrection. These are they who shall come forth in the resurrection of the just. These are they who are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly place, the holiest of all. These are they who have come in an innumerable company of angels to the general assembly of the church of Enoch and of the firstborn. These are they whose names are written in heaven, where God and Christ are judge of all. These are they who are just men made perfect through Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, who wrought out this perfect atonement through the shedding of his own blood. These are they whose body are celestial, whose glory is that of the Son, even the glory of God, the highest of all, whose glory the Son of the firmament is written of being typical. You know, when we look at, as the world looks at it, we look at heaven or hell, most Christianity. We know that it's the prison house and paradise as a place of teaching when one passes as we wait for the resurrection. But as we understand the glories, it says all will be saved except the sons of perdition. Oh, well, I'm not a son of perdition. I'm saved. But what glory do you want to be in? You know, when you read Telestial Glory, there's some pretty rough characters in that. I think there's scripture someplace, one brother might have to help me out, or something about being, probably in 76, I think it talks about being satisfied with where we're at because they weren't willing to accept that which they could have had. Are we not guilty of that from time to time? Of being satisfied with what we got instead of what we could have? You know, if you go to a service, whether it be your Sunday morning services or your Wednesday night services or our prayer services here or our evening services or anything, if you don't go with some expectation to meet the Lord there, your heart's not in the right place to receive the blessings that He has could pour out upon us. And we would see mighty things if we went with a preparation in a state of mind of expecting to meet the Lord when we come into His house. Let me see. I had... Never. Go ahead. Go ahead.
When you were talking about the glories there and who receives the glory, I remember the testimony of Joseph Smith in history when he saw the resurrection and he saw Brother Alvin coming forth from the resurrection, and he asked how this could happen when he never knew the gospel. And he was spoken to all those who wanted to know. Well, a place in the resurrection. I think of my cousin Mary Jo's sisters who were killed in 72 in a car pedestrian accident. They and Joe wanted to be baptized, but their dad wouldn't let them. So Carol and Shirley were never baptized when they were killed, and yet I think they still have a chance to have a part in the resurrection, in the first resurrection. And another testimony I remember down in up in our camp last year at Woodbine. He was telling about a lady who lost a son who was only 28, and I guess he lived a hard life. And he was killed, and of course, the church, Baptist church, belonged to believe that if you were never baptized or did things wrong, you go to hell. Well, some years later, she was visiting a member of our church, and she saw a picture of these two men on the wall. And she asked the lady, "Who are these men?" And she said, "They're members of our church." She said, "Who are they?" Again, she said, "They're members of our church." She said, "Who are their names?" It was a Joseph Smith and Hiram Smith. She said, "I had a dream, saw these men preaching to my son in hell."
You know, we don't even comprehend what the Lord's got in store and what's taken place. I remember Joseph, I believe it's Joseph the Third's little girl that was killed in Lamoni. And how he was so devastated that he told the Lord he didn't know if he could go on to fulfill his duty as prophet of the church. And the Lord gave him a vision. And he saw this young lady, 20 years old, I guess it was, from Lamoni, Iowa. And he says, well, what's she doing here? She'd never been a sick a day in her life, you know, good health. He was told that the Lord needed her there to teach and pointed over to some little children. And when he looked over, he saw her teaching in amongst these children. And he was told that his daughter would be taught the same things in paradise that she would have been taught if she was on the earth. This loving God we got cares for every soul. It says, and every knee shall know and bow. So there's not going to be one missed. It's not going to have the opportunity to respond.
Well, one of the things one of the things that's a misunderstanding is that God knows everybody's heart. And even though they don't live the kind of life or whatever, as we as individuals say, we kind of either judge them or have an opinion about it. The Lord knows it all. And there's been some men who have been taken in good health and so forth, but the Lord uses them to do what He wants done. And it's difficult at times to wrap my mind around that understanding. But I had an instance that happened when I was at Lexington, Tennessee. As I was sharing with the people, the Lord opened everybody's heart. And I saw every individual there, what their heart was. And the Holy Ghost made me aware of the situation with every one of them. And some of them I'd never seen in my life. And I haven't seen them since. And I couldn't tell you what the Lord revealed to me because it was for that particular purpose, for that ministry at that particular time. And out of that service, we had 11 administrations from the age of 8 to 92. There were other things that were brought about that brought ministry. So we've got to be very careful what we sometimes think we know. Be sure that we know by the power of the Holy Ghost that what we're doing is the mind and will of the Lord, or I will have to answer for the things that I've done wrong, not following the Holy Ghost.
Too much is given, much is required. And we got to realize that every person's probably on a little different plane where they're at spiritually. The Lord desires to bring them all up to the same level. And it might not be as fast as we'd like to see or the way we would like to see it. But as been spoken, the Lord knows their hearts. And can do things. I worry about my children growing up. One of the things he told me to do was be concerned with my stewardship with them and not what they would do with that stewardship. And so you do the best you can, and then they're going to have their own agency to make their choices. That doesn't mean we quit praying for them and caring for them. We still love them in that. But where would we be? You know, we might think, well, this is where, you know, I wish brother and so-and-so or this family or that family was here or there, you know, at the same plane, so we all come united in what we was. But where did the Lord start out with us? Where was we? We're not where we was. We're probably not where He wants us to be. That's why He's still working with us. But because He's merciful, He's patient, long-suffering, He hasn't closed the door. Joe, Mike.
I've been thinking about this all through class. Don't know quite why, but I'm going to share it anyway. A scripture came to mind, and I was thinking about, you know, when Jesus came, He brought His gospel, and He preached it to the Jews, and they rejected Him. And so they cast their net to the other side, and they went to the Gentiles. And then we know the church went into the wilderness, went into apostasy. But when it was restored again, the gospel was preached to the Gentiles, and then it's going to go to the Jews. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. We've heard that before. But one of the promises is, and it's in Luke, says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation, the generation when the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." And, you know, there's lots of different opinions out there, and probably doesn't really matter on when did the time of the Gentiles, has it been fulfilled, is it over? You can get lots of different opinions, and I'm not going to start saying it's happened and such a date is the date that the Lord's going to come or anything like that. But, you know, a generation, typically it's about a 40-year period, you know. The time is very close. And I believe that we're in the transition, if you will, from the gospel going to the Gentiles now to the Jews, the house of Israel, house of Judah, specifically. And you know, if all these things are going to come to pass during this time of that generation, then we're running out of days. And that time is very soon at hand. And I think about this when I think about, like, the time of tribulation we go through, and you read back in history, and they thought, you know, throughout different parts of time, oh, these must be the time of tribulation. The 60s, you know.
Yep.
Man, that was a tumultuous time. You would have thought that was the time of the tribulation, but here we are, you know, it's 2017. And it just seems like each decade that passes, you can see things get worse and worse. And, you know, what is that true time of tribulation? The message is, brothers and sisters, we don't have a lot of time. No man knows the hour or the day when Christ is going to come, but we know we've got to be prepared. And the testimony is the time is soon at hand.
Yep.
Well, If you listen to the radio, which I listen to the radio, but it's interesting how quickly more and more you're hearing about preparing for what's to come, and that's like food and things like that. And I will admit, my son's into the prepper with the group that they call themselves preppers, and I've been to some of their meetings. They're very, very interesting, and you learn quite a bit, a lot. But I also have said to him, you know, you can prepare all the food you want, but you better have the Lord with you, because He's going to be what's going to keep you. And you better get close to the Lord. And I think about this when they advertise food and things like that. It's too bad they couldn't go a step farther and tell them to get their life in order too.
I remember a man shared testimony with me. He built a above ground cellar, I guess it's what, a block deal, and insulated it well to keep their their goods in. And this was around the year 2000 when everybody thought, you know, everything was going to go haywire. And the Lord told him that it wouldn't make any difference because they'd steal it anyway. And that. And so, like you say, it's more, we got to get spiritually right. If we're spiritually right, the Lord's going to provide. If he's going to feed us manna out of heaven, he's going to provide our every need. But we got to get our hearts right in that. The kingdom just, a place is not going to save us unless we dwell in the house of the Lord. He's within us. And I thought I had it down, but I apparently didn't get it down this morning. The scripture came across my mind this morning when I was studying. But what is it to abide in the Lord? What is it to you to have the Lord abide in you? Anybody got any thoughts? Leonard? Seven of Genesis? Okay, go ahead, Leonard, while I look that up. And great tribulation shall be among the children of men. But my people will I preserve, and righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth, to bear the testimony of my only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, and also the resurrection of all men. And righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine own elect from the four corners of the earth, and to a place which I shall prepare, in a holy city, that my people may gird up their lines, and be looking forth for the time of the coming of my coming. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem. Okay, Leonard, got anything?
One of the thoughts that I think about is it says, I think it's in the first section of Doctrine and Covenants, that you might have eternal life in this world and in the world to come. And I think so often we ignore the idea that we could be obtaining eternal life in this world. And I'd like to bear testimony of some elderly people I know in several of the branches around that I feel have sealed their reward by their faithfulness over the years. And some say, well, you never know till the end. But I think there are those that have lived so faithfully that there's no doubt that they'll finish out their lives the way they are. You know, with Joseph Gluff, some of them were always accusing him of climbing up into Joseph's seat and that he would eventually stray from the church. But Joseph III always said, I have never worried about you and knew that you would always be faithful to the end.
I think those that it talks about receiving the Holy Spirit of promise have the assurance when they leave this life what will be their reward. I had the privilege of my father and I administering to a dear brother that has meant a lot to me. And in that administration, or during that administration, I saw that man preaching on the streets of Zion. That was a couple weeks before he passed away. Also saw that man probably a few months before that as he preached. He used a cane to get around. Had a stroke. And when he got up to preach, I saw a young man in a white glow around him. I thought my eyes were playing tricks, so I would look away and look up again, and I saw the same thing, and various times I did that. The whole time that he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he sat down, I saw the man that was sitting there before he got up. What the Lord was showing me, helping probably prepare me to know that this man would soon be going on to be with the Master. But his work's not done, because he'll be on the streets of Zion preaching the gospel. So I look forward to that day when I can see him again. Sharing ministry again with him as we shared many times. The scripture in my brother could probably help me. He's in the Book of Mormon where it talks about, do we see his countenance in our lives? Then goes on, can you imagine yourself being in his presence? Well, you see your faults, and then it goes on and says, well, can you have envy and hatred and that, and have that kind of countenance, the Lord's countenance in your life? The Lord's reaching out to us each day to draw us closer to him, to lift us up, that we might be faithful to the end, whenever that might be. He says he never gives us anything more than we can bear, though at times we probably think so. But he loves us so much. He loves us so much. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what he's calling us to do. And if we can follow those two commandments, we're on the right path for him to take us where he desires to take us. In the fifth chapter of Alma, the 24th verse. Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again. For the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. who is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which so easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. Yea, come and go forth and show unto your God that you are willing to repent of your sins and enter into covenant with him, to keep his commandments and witness unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. And whosoever doth this and keepeth the commandments of God, from henceforth the same will I remember, and the same will remember that I say unto him, yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life, according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which testifies of me. May that Holy Spirit bring you to the remembrance of the covenant which you have made, to be faithful and to keep the commandments to the end. May it remind you that you might have eternal life and abide in the house of the Lord forever, would be my prayer. Any other comments? Thank you for your time today. Thank you for your participation. As a brother said, week's coming short. Yep, one more day. Thank you, Chris. God bless you all. Yep.
Testimonies and this places. Was for my son, and he died, and his only child is having they got married after he died, like, you know, and his grandson did, and they're expecting their first child in October, so this is going to go to his new child to have, and those are like my chapters, but I want to show you one thing, just to show you an example. I got a chapter. What page is this? 29. I just want to show you how life, you hit it on it yesterday. Okay, that was my brother that went and played pro ball. But, okay. That was me. Oh, sugar wraps, where is that at? My teacher. I was. No, that wasn't it. It was at the very end.
Look at the pictures, Kenny.
Was it chapter 4? No.
No, this is talking about your teachers here.
Yeah. Okay, this is it. Mr. Kelly came to, this was my grade 4 teacher, and having only 1 year of teaching to his credit, oh, how I owe so much to that man. He saw my problem immediately. I sat by his desk each day when he wasn't teaching my grade or I didn't have an assignment to do. I stuttered. I couldn't read.